this gentleman named Len Mink that is always involved in the worship team, and he'll say, you know, please welcome Brother Kenneth Copeland. And you know Brother Copeland's going to come up, but that's not the sermon. That's the offering message. And he doesn't say, okay, now I'm going to share the offering message. He just starts preaching, right? And then after about 30 minutes or 45 minutes, you say, all right, now let's take the offering. And the first night, it was so funny. There's a couple sitting beside me, and they look, and they're just like, their mouths just hang open. They're like, that was the offering message, and, you know, and then I think that some people are just like, oh, I think I've had enough. I got to go to bed, you know. Some people left after the offering message. They said, that's the, I got enough word for one night, but it's good if you stick around as well, right? But anyway, we won't do that in our church. We won't have, at least not right now, we won't have offering messages like that, but I just thought that was funny. I'm going to release the kids. Kids, be blessed. You'll have someone who can teach you the Word of God. Eckhart is up for Sunday school. Excellent. So go with Mr. Rinsdorf, and he's got some good things, I'm sure, to share. Eckhart's always great. He is someone who invests time in his lessons and really has great illustrations for the kids, so they're going to have lots of fun. So kids, be blessed as you go. As I mentioned, we're going to just spend a day just having the various people who are at Calgary just share what God spoke to them. You know, there's 9 of us that are speaking, and I'm just looking forward to being able to share a little bit, but also hear what everyone else spoke about, or what God spoke to them. It was interesting. I was looking through my notes, and, you know, like, I know Brother Copeland spoke for, you know, let's say he preached for an hour and a half, and I have, like, you know, I'm not a copious note taker. I just really write down the things that really impact me, but I'm not just constantly writing. And so I'm curious if the 8 things that I wrote down are the same things as the 8 things that everyone else wrote down. But, you know, God speaks different things to different people, right? And, you know, depending on where you're at in life, it's just neat how there's things that'll just get pulled into your spirit when you're hearing someone speak. And so it'll be really good. We're going to have Dan and Michelle up first. Just give you guys the order so the speakers know what's happening. So we're going to have Dan and Michelle first. We'll have Mary Brown. Mary's here, right? Okay. Dan and Michelle, then Bob and Denise, Doug and Sandra, myself. Actually, sorry, Candace will be after Bob and Denise as well, too. So let's start with Dan and Michelle. Let's welcome them. Go first. You can say whatever you like, and everyone else just has to follow your lead.
So basically, I just went over the notes, and I rewrote everything, and then when I had more stuff to kind of write in there, because the messages were really awesome, and it was so much to take in, and I try as best I can to take really good notes, but then I kind of got things a little mixed up, because we were listening to CDs on the way back home, stuff that we'd purchased, and it was like, oh, okay, so then I would fit that in. So the very first thing that I wrote down, it says, I have a surplus of prosperity. That was one of the first things. Okay. I'm just going to go with what my notes say. Okay, so everyone has a part in the body. Like, you are all part of the body of Christ. And he talked a little about giving. We're supposed to be here to give. And it's not so much about what we're getting out of it. We're here to give to one another, to help and encourage one another, and to, anyways. And this was kind of, he also said, it was Kenneth Copeland, he said that we're accountable for the things that we don't do, as well as the things that we do. And then as he started to give the message, he talked about the prophetic ministry, and he said it always comes with a little bit of correction. And so that's kind of, so that was kind of things that I needed to hear. He talked about scriptural partnership and like prayer and financial. He talked about the devil comes to steal, to kill and destroy. We've heard that scripture before. The first thing that the devil will do is he'll steal the word from you, which causes you to possibly get in fear, doubt. And then once that starts to happen, it just kind of snowballs from there. But the other thing he said is if you don't say it out loud, the devil can't use it. So the things that you're thinking, it's best not to say it out loud. He talked about the difference between fact and truth. The fact is that maybe today I woke up and maybe my body's sore. But the truth is, God's word says that I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus, that I was healed. So that healing is already done. How important it is to line up our words, our thoughts, with the word of God. We should be declaring. It's not enough just to come. And I'm learning this as well, so this is for me too. So it's not just enough that we come here every Sunday to church and take in the word. We need to do something about that. When we hear the word, when we hear the word of God preached to us, when we read those words in the Bible, that word, that's a covenant for us, right? So it's very important that we're not just, it's not enough to know it. We have to declare it, and we have to speak that out over our lives. So I'm learning that too. I'm learning to do things differently because, you know, a lot of times maybe my body doesn't line up with what the word says about healing, but I know that God can do it. So your words are very powerful when they're lined up with the word of God, but they can also be very powerful to you if they don't. If you're speaking negativity over yourself, over your finances, over your kids, over your family, over your church, those are very powerful things too that happen. We talked about this in ladies' Bible study the one time and kind of made everybody laugh. You know, I had heard it somewhere before that, you know, when you catch yourself making a mistake, saying something, because we all do, we say things that maybe don't line up with the word, and if we catch ourselves, I declare a crop failure over what I just spoke. And I try and do that. You know, if you catch yourself doing that, it's okay. You know, you make the mistake, but you got to say, look, I declare that. That's null and void what I just said. This is what God's word says over that. He talked about, when he talked about debt and the debt spirit, he said is very, very determined. And he said, so therefore that you need to be aggressive about speaking the will of God about being debt free. So that was, I thought that was very powerful. We have been redeemed from debt. The one thing he said too is he said, you know, our failure is not God's fault. Yeah. That was like, our failure is our own sometimes, and it has to do with what we speak. The devil doesn't have power to kill you unless you give it to him. So by your words, you're justified, you know. The one thing that got me, and you know, we had a funny moments in the teaching, and I don't know if you remember this, but he talked about his hair. You remember that? He talked about that, you know, how the word says that our hairs are numbered. So he says that we can that we can claim the original amount of hair that we had. I like that. We can also demand that our mouth get in line with the word of God. He talked about no curse is without a cause. So he encouraged people to read, you know, in Deuteronomy, I think it was Deuteronomy 28 or 27 that he talked about, how the word talks about the different curses. And there's always an opposite. Like when there's curses, there's always a way that God gives you a way out. You know, a way to deal with that. Oh, okay. This will be the last thing I have to say. Dan's okay with that. Anyways, when the place that we stayed at, every morning we'd have breakfast, and we decided to sit along this little kind of a table that went alongside the window, and so we kind of could see out on the street and people coming and going. And across the street, I was kind of watching this magpie. Everybody knows what a magpie is. There was a little patch of grass and trees and rocks and different things, and there was a couple magpies in these trees, but there was one crow that was very determined. He was gonna bug this magpie, and he was gonna get at whatever it was that they were protecting over in that little patch of grass and in the trees. And on the last day that we were there, that crow was sitting up on the top of the building, and the magpies were kind of bouncing back and forth from tree to tree and whatever they were doing. And God said to me, "You see that crow up there?" He said, "That represents the devil and how determined he is to get you off track. And he's persistent." Like when it talked before about, you know, those spirits being very persistent. You know, God is powerful, but if we don't take time to realize what's coming against us and that we're in a battle for our health, for our prosperity, for our children, for our family, for our church, and if we don't confess what God's word says over, which is more powerful, then we will stay defeated, right? So I just encourage you today to continue to confess the word of God over your life. Just confess what God can do and get into the word as much as possible and claim those scriptures for yourself, because it works and God is good.
I guess I'll start off where she left off with the magpie and crow. I just thought it was amazing how we were in a spot to receive the word, not only by hearing and speaking, but how God used the things around us to emphasize what we are learning that weekend by two birds, by a magpie and a crow. It wasn't just the magpie and the crow that caught my attention. I enjoy watching people's movements, facial features, just people watching. And it actually amazed me, actually, how many people were at this conference that were in this motel that we were staying at. Here I thought that because we were three or four blocks away that there wouldn't be too many there. Everybody would be staying fairly close. But every time we come back, there'd be people we'd see. And second day, I started counting, and there was over 50 of us that were in the same motel. With as many people that were in that motel, there was a bar that was downstairs. And some of the things that were going on when we first got there on Thursday night weren't going on Friday night and Saturday night when we were coming back, because it was fairly late. And as we were going in, a little tug come to my spirit. And I asked God, I said, "Well, why is this? Why are we seeing such a difference, even though it's only a small handful of people that are in this motel that is, I don't know, a couple hundred rooms? And there's bars all up and down this road that we walk by. But yet the spirit changed from Thursday night to Friday night and Saturday night. Why is that?" And he brought to my memory, "One will bring 1,000 to flight. Two will bring 10,000 to flight." So if it goes in those numbers, if there is 50 of us in there, who's got a chance? The number is, it expands so rapidly. You're talking in the billions, my math was even close. That would be sitting there protecting us. So in those simple, beliefs, faith, grace that God gives us. Yeah, it's not that hard to see what actually is going on if we're actually paying attention and listening to our own spirit man talking to us. I think the biggest thing that I really noticed, because I was mentioning that I'm a people watching person. Thursday night, this young lady was in there. But Friday morning, she was there. And
All I knew is that she was crippled. That's all I knew. I didn't know why. Didn't ask why. When you go to conferences and stuff like this, you see that a lot. People are looking for answers. They're looking for healings. And by all rights, that's where they should be. So anyways, like I said, I was watching. And pastor in the hall, stuff like this. And each time that I passed after lunch or after the supper meal, we go back for the next session, you'd see a little bit more glow in this young lady. She'd be, I don't know, early teens, 13, 14, 15 at the best. And each time she'd go back to another session, there'd be a little more glow, a little more smile. We come to find out, I guess it had been Saturday night, the last session. She was actually up on stage. I guess it was a brain tumor, is what I'm understanding, is the reason why she was crippled. And she was seeing double. She had very limited use of her hands and arms. And she wasn't able to walk. She was able to stand if she was helped. But by the end of the night, by the grace of God and by the Holy Spirit and by the healing powers that were handed out by grace, she was literally dancing and hopping around on the platform, waving her hands and smiling. And Pastor Copeland asked, well, is everything good now? She goes, well, I'm still seeing double. So he walks back over, puts his hands back on her eyes, and starts praying again. And that went on for, I don't know, maybe 15 minutes of prayer, and the other prayer warriors that were there and people of the team were praying along with them, along with the crowd, and takes her hands off. And he asked her again, how's your vision? One eye had single vision and the other eye was still double. And he turned and he told her, it's your faith. Believe in that other eye is going to straighten out, and it will. Now, from what I understand, she's supposed to be going down to Fort Worth. Is it this weekend or next weekend? To the next conference. Okay, it's the first weekend of July. They are actually flying her and her family down there for her testimony. And I just thought that was amazing that they would do something for this person that is actually no different than you or I. So it was those little things. Now, don't get me wrong. I appreciated the conference of listening to the speakers. But I got more out of the pre-service prayer and singing than I did out of the sermons. I don't know what it was, but it just, that's where it fell in. And it's Gloria Copeland? No, that was Terry Copeland, his daughter. We're very anointed. I don't know if it was more for the prayer that she touched my heart the most, or if it was the way that she actually did her songs of lifting God up with praise and glorifying him that way. I don't know which one it was. All I know is that I got more out of the pre-service stuff than I did actually out of the sermons.
Thanks, Dan. You know, when you lost a part, when you go to an event like this and you have a heart to receive, the Lord can speak to you through watching words when you're having breakfast, right? Or meeting people or whatever, right? And that's that just tells me that you guys were there and you were just ready to receive because you're receiving during worship and during pre-service prayer and just your interactions with people. And so that's just an exciting thing to see. All right, let's have Bob and Ernie. You ready? I know you're ready.
Wow. Well, it was good. I know some people at home were watching online and stuff too, so you got in on some of what we got in on in person. I kind of feel like Michelle when she started to say that she was listening to other people, and I was sitting getting some stuff ready. I'm like, oh wait a minute, that was Keith, because Keith traveled with us when we went to the conference. We took him with us, so it was really good. So I can totally relate to stuff flowing together like that. It was just so good. You know, sometimes you hear things that you've heard many, many times, and then they just solidify and hit home again, how good God is. And one of the very first things that was said at the conference, and maybe some people just didn't even catch it, was that our expectation precedes the manifestation in our lives. And that's so true. It's we're ready. We're in a time where we're going to see really good things. And God's doing good things, and there's good things in store, and we're going to see them. And if our expectation is out there, then we're going to see that manifestation in our lives. And they talked about, Brother Copeland talked about, if you put water in your kettle and you put it on to boil, you know it's going to boil. You expect it to boil, that's why you put it on. And there's never a thought in your mind that, well, it's probably not going to boil. Like, I put it there, but it's probably not going to boil. That would be ridiculous to think that way. And yet with the Word of God, we sometimes do that. We put the Word of God in our lives, but we don't necessarily expect what God's promised us. And so that was just so good, too, just to hear that again, that the water is going to boil. So if we're putting the Word of God in our lives, the faith is going to come, because God said that faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. So if you're putting the Word in your life and you're spending time in the Word of God, then you need to expect for the manifestation of seeing those things in your life. So that was just really good. Same as with right now, everybody's planting their gardens and the farmers are seeding, and because they're expecting it to produce something. That's why we do it. And one other thing was that we need to have a covenant of God mentality, or have the covenant of God on our minds all the time. I'm in a covenant with God. Each one of us, we're in a covenant with God, and that covenant was sealed with the blood of Jesus. So it's sure, it's guaranteed. So when the enemy comes to you and goes, oh, look at that, you've got that pain in your body, you go, oh, no, I have a covenant with God. And that covenant says that by his stripes I was healed. Or the enemy says, no, you're not going to have the finances this month. Oh, no, I have a covenant with God. And my covenant says that he's my provider, and he's going to take care of all of my needs and give me abundance, and the blessing is on my life. And so those things were just so good. And then just this one last thing. When we start believing something, we start saying it. And when we start saying it, that's when we're going to start seeing it. And so take the Word of God with boldness and declare the things that you're seeing in that Word. Speak them out of your mouth and then expect to see them. So that was just some of the stuff that just was so good and ministered to me at the conference.
Thank you, sweetie. This conference was my second conference. I was my first one was in Texas. And the very first thing that happens to you when you go to a Copeland conference is you get into a room with 2,000 or 3,000 people. Now, for me, I'm a bit shy, as you guys all know. It takes some getting used to realize that you're in a family of believers. The whole room is there for the same reason, to listen to the Word of God. It's like you're being wrapped by a big blanket, that there's no strife, there's nothing. We're all there to listen to the Word of God. So it's just amazing, that feeling of, I'm kind of at home. It's just that kind of thing. You also realize very quickly that all of the preachers are there, and they're there because they believe, and they're there with passion. There's no one that has more passion for the Word of God than Kenneth. Kenneth comes across, sometimes you think he's actually mad at you because he's looking at you, and he's pointing his finger at you, and you're only about 5 rows back, maybe 4 rows back, and what'd I do? And he's going like that. So you get that passion from him. He has that passion. And then while you think he's mad at you, then he'll come out with some humor and he'll say, but Brother Copeland, I can't do that because I'm scared. And then he'll mimic that person as if they're talking to him. So he interjects humor to break it up. So he's got a lot of passion. The other thing that I find is any time that we're at a Copeland convention, the Copeland conventions are first-class operations. There's lots of security. Everything is comfortable. You're not looking over your shoulder. I'm a nervous traveler. So when I get into somewhere that's new, I'm always kind of watching over my shoulders because I'm just plain nervous. But when you're at a Copeland convention, there's none of that. There's security everywhere. It's comfortable. It's quiet. Friendly. They have people all over the place so that they just want to talk to you. They're happy if you walk up to them and ask them a question or where's this, where's that. Like, it's just helpful and friendly. Secure. And the other thing is they're on time. Everything at the Copelands is on time. To start, they're always on time. To end, forget it. There's no chance that you could ever say when they're going to end. But they're always on time to start. To the second, right? The other thing that, for me, is that when you're at a Copeland convention, you're treated like the child of our good God. There is nothing too good for us when we're at the Copeland conventions. I have some points here that I remember that I want to share with you from this Calgary one. And the one that impacted me that I remember probably the best is God wants us dependent on no one but Him. He doesn't want us dependent on the banks. He doesn't want us dependent on somebody providing welfare for us. That's not what God wants. He wants us dependent in our health, our finances. He wants us not to have any lack in any area of our life. And this is God's will. That's His will for us. The second point that I remember that stands out for me is faith is God's way. That is the way God wants it. And faith needs to be exercised. And how do we exercise our faith? We exercise our faith by being in the Word of God. The other thing that Brother Copeland tells us is faith is contagious. And you can see that in these conventions, that faith is contagious. Fear is not the will of God. God has nothing to do with fear or anything bad. That is not the will of God. The will of God is for us to be happy and have faith. And the stronger our faith is, the more contagious it is. I will say to you in closing, though, that after a Copeland convention, you are physically and mentally tired. Just no other word for it. Texas is even worse than Calgary because Calgary was a little shorter. But by the time Saturday night came in Texas, I was ready for a nap. I was tired. But in the end of it all, after you leave that room, you just feel good. You just feel full. You feel good. You've learned the Word of God. And I recommend it to anybody.
I'm smiling because I'm thinking something, but I just can't say it. Anyway, it was good. And it's true that you need to get your rest you need a good night's rest to prepare you for the sessions. I think this one had, it was three sessions a day, right? One, two, three. Right, three on Friday. That's right. If you go to Texas, you get five a day. That's heavy duty. Yeah, so two in the morning, two in the afternoon, and one at night. Not much time for shopping or doing this and that. Yeah, not much time for eating sometimes. Sometimes you just want to bring your meal right with you. But when you're being fed the Word of God, you just, some of those things that you might hold a little bit more dear, like sleep and food, seem less important, right, when you're just getting the Word of God poured into you. Candace, why don't you come share?
All right. Well, as everyone said, it's kind of neat because I was a little concerned. Like Cam said, where do you want to go in the lineup? I'm like, I don't know, just stick me in somewhere. But then you're always concerned that someone's going to take your thunder or speak on what you're going to speak on. But it's really neat to see that each person kind of just receives something different. And for me, it was, I'll start with the kind of lighter thing. It was just some connections that we made there. People that we just didn't think we would see. It was just kind of spoke to our heart. We were going up the stairs I think it was the second day or the first night, I'm not sure, and all of a sudden I hear this, "Hey, Cam!" in this, like, gruff kind of voice. We look down, and here's our friend Greg. And he and his wife Cindy were such a blessing to me when we first, when I graduated Bible college, I went to live with them and their family, and before Cam and I got married. And their kids were our ring bearer and flower girl, and Jesse was there, and we got to see them, and just see, like, how the Lord's poured into their life, and to know that those connections are lifetime, and they just... It was nice to just sit down and just share the word of God with someone and just kind of renew that connection. And it's neat. You know, God has good things going forward. And so just never forget those people that kind of go that, you know what, those are lifetime relationships. And then, so that was really neat. For me, it's when you go to those conferences, there's good word, there's lots of points. But for me, it's just sitting under that anointing and that spirit that of faith of the people that are around you. And for me, it was a little bit different when we went down south. The meetings end a little bit earlier. The ministry time is, you know, there is some ministry time at times, and other times, you know, the meetings end and you go and you can go to pray or there's places to go. But here, I really got to see Brother Copeland minister to people, and the heart of God just absolutely shone through him in a way that you wouldn't expect. When you just listen to him speak, like, it's good, the passion, like Bob said, you're kind of like waiting to get hit with it. But yeah, he just... So one night there was a man, and he was drunk, and he had come up, and he was just talking in that. And Brother Copeland just, it was like the room shut down, and it was just the two of them together. And he just looked him in the eyes, and that heart of love that just flowed through to that man, and he hugged him. Like, this is, you know, if we're looking like, you know, big stars, not that there are, you know, in Christianity, but, you know, he didn't mind just taking that time and spending the time, and he just hugged this man and he ministered the love of God to him, and the change was so visible in him in that moment. It like almost moved me to tears, which is not kind of where my heart, you know, I'm not always as teary or, you know, be strong or do this, but just, yeah, to watch that love of God, that genuine love, and watch the change that it made in someone's life. And so that just really challenged me to walk, you know, just let the love of God flow through you, because that love is what changes the people that are there. You know, at the word of God and giving them that faith to speak, but to show that love of God touch them and give them the tools to build their faith in that. I just really believe those two walking hand in hand is kind of the next step for me, especially, is just to be really genuine. Not that I don't love people, don't take me wrong there, but just to really allow God's love to flow through you and to just allow that moment to be about that person and what God wants to speak. So that for me, just in that anointing of faith and that, you know, God's love really flowing was really amazing.
So. I just want to echo that for sure. It was neat to see Brother Copeland just you know, this is just a little bit different atmosphere in Canada. I'm not sure if it was because it was in Canada or a little bit smaller event or what it was, but just to watch some ministry time take place there and just to see him love on people and just be a little bit more relaxed. It was really cool. We really enjoyed that, and you know, it's one thing to hear someone in an audio recording. It's better to see them in video, but you don't really get a true sense of someone is until you sit. And if you sit live under their ministry, that's when you really get a true sense of their heart, and it just really increases the respect and admiration you have for those ministers of the gospel. And so we really found that for sure. All right, Sandra, you're up.
That is very true. From the get-go, right, it was electric with the spirit of faith. And that's just so good. Like, watch the DVDs or, you know, go online and catch the service. But to actually sense it when you're in a conference is a pretty neat thing. And you just feel so bold. You feel like there's nothing, like nothing's impossible with God, right? All those scriptures that we know, that we declare and we believe. But when you get in with, like, whatever there were there, 3,000 people that are all going for God too, and from the stage you're getting faith preached at you from the very beginning, from pre-service prayer, like they said, from the for the worship, there'd be prophetic ministry coming through worship and from the messages and from the ministry, like Candace was mentioning, it just gotcha, right? And so you could believe God. And that, I think that's one of the biggest reasons that they do those conferences is to bring people up to another level. Like,
you might be having trouble on your own to believe God for what you're trusting him for, right? There's challenges. Like we get here together and you might feel a little stronger, and then you go home and you face those same things again. And it's not like you're alone, but sometimes you feel like you're alone. And, you know, you got to build yourself up. But I believe that that's what those conferences are about. It's just to bring people into a place and hug on them and lift us, everybody up together so that we can believe, so that nothing is impossible to us. And to go home and to help, not everybody's there, right? And to help the people that we touch, the people that we have influence in, and it's good. I have to tell you one story that, and no one told it. I'm amazed. But it was a story that Brother Copeland told that were really, I've gone over it and over it, and I've said it to myself, and I've said it out loud so many times since the conference. This lady was carried to a healing meeting and by her husband. She couldn't walk. She was in, I believe it was final stages of cancer. I'm not positive on all the details. But he carried her up to the front for prayer, and she received prayer for healing. And he carried her back to her seat. And he carried her out to the car. And he carried her into the house. And the next morning, he carried her to the breakfast table. And at the table, she started laughing. You know, she was having a good time. And he's going, "What are you laughing about?" And she says, "The devil still thinks I have cancer, but I don't." And I don't think Brother Copeland told the rest of that story in that service, but then in another message, he said, "Oh, and by the way, that lady, she's totally healed," right? You know, it's so encouraging. You don't have to see it. Like that little girl you told the story of, right? We didn't see the full manifestation of her healing that day. But if she will keep the switch of faith on, and her family will keep the switch of faith on, they will see 100%, right? That's what God's after. He wants good things for us. So, sorry if I acted silly laughing like that. But that's how we have to be with the enemy, right? Like, laugh in his face. We know the truth. And he's trying to take those good things from us. But if we stand, we'll receive our promise. One other thing that really stood out to me that I could think of was how Brother Copeland was endeavoring to hear the voice of God. And he's done this for years, but he's getting so more and more sensitive to it. In John 4, I think it talks about, "I do hear the voice of the good shepherd, and the voice of a stranger I will not follow." And there was a point several times in the service where he'd go, "Oh, okay, yes, sir, all right, yeah, I'll tell them." And he'd turn to us and he'd tell us, right? You know, he's speaking and he's listening to the Lord all the time. And he had us pray for Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. Yeah, I think there were two different times at least that the Lord interrupted him and had him stop and pray for Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. Now, I don't know if it has anything to do with what just went on with the, you know, the elbowing or whatever he's being accused of. But he needs us, and we need to pray for our leaders, right? And I was just so, I'm thinking if the person that's leading, in that case it was Brother Copeland, if the person that's leading can hear the Lord that clearly, then I can hear the Lord that clearly. And so for me, that's what I'm reaching out to right now, even while I'm speaking to you, to be hearing. If God wants me to say something different, that I'm hearing it. And not just getting a maybe thing, that I know for sure that it's the Lord. So it was good. And I know that I can do all things through Christ, the Anointed One, who strengthens me.
Well, I'm done. Everybody stole my stuff. It was actually a really good weekend. We got off to a little bad start. Bob and I made the mistake of letting our wives order our lunch the first day, and we ended up with this bowl of soup that... But after that, it was a really good weekend. In 1991, you guys have all heard my testimony. I was diagnosed with cancer. Bob Potter, who used to go to this church, gave me a bag full of, a bag full of tapes. And the first tape I listened to was from Kenneth Copeland. And that changed my life. That's 25 years ago, and it's been going the same way ever since. I mean, it's just, it's good to hear the word of faith. In 1992, we attended our first Kenneth Copeland convention in Vancouver, and we've gone to very many of them out in Texas. But what I want to get across to you guys today, this is not about Kenneth Copeland. This is about the message that he preaches. This is about the word of faith message. Because I am amazed how Christians have got the faith message stole from them. The word of faith message stole from them. And the book of James is written to Christians. It's not written, if you don't want to get your doctrine mixed up, you have to find out who's doing the talking in the Bible and who it's talking to. And the book of James is written to Christians. It talks about to brethren. And in James chapter 1, verse 6, it says, "But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind." Verse 7, it says, "For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord." That's a pretty sobering statement to Christians. You have to ask in faith with no doubting. You won't get anything from the Lord. So when the devil comes to you and starts to make fun of the faith message, you better sit up and take notice that he's got something coming your way someday, and you better be ready for it. And so this is what we're doing. We're not going to hear so-called Brother Copeland. We're going to hear the word of faith message. Because there was a lady who came to me about a year ago, Christian lady from this town, not from this church, and she had some problems in her life. And so I said to her, I said, "Well, you should just try listening to Brother Kenneth Copeland and believe his voice of victory." "Well, I don't like him. I don't like him." So I give her another ministry. "Well, I don't like him." So I give her a scripture. "Well, I don't know about that." And the Lord shot a scripture to me right away. "Don't cast your pearl before swine." What does that scripture mean? "Don't cast your pearl before swine." If you have a bunch of pigs in a pen, and you can have a $100,000 pearl in one hand and an old shoe in the other, and you can toss them into the pen, they don't know the difference. They have no respect, no honor for that $100,000 pearl anywhere more than they have for the old shoe. It's not calling that lady a swine. It's basically saying there are people who don't honor the word of God. They don't honor the word of God. They don't take time to listen to it. And that's what the faith message is. I just finished reading a book, and this guy, they have huge healing meetings and success in their healing meetings. And he talked about a bunch of friends, and if I mention some of these guys, you'd know them. Great healing meetings. There are things happening in the world right now, but these guys are saying at least 50% of these people are losing their healing. These things are happening. I mean, these people are coming out of wheelchairs, blind eyes are opening, and a year later, half of the people are losing their healing. Is because the Christians need to know about faith. And one thing about Brother Kenneth Copeland is that when God gives him a message, he sticks with that message all year long. He'll preach it and preach it and preach it and preach it. A few years ago, he started to teach on fear, and he stuck with that message. God told him to speak on love, and he stuck with that message. Maybe 10 years ago, God told him to teach on the Christ, what the word Christ means. And the word Christ is not Jesus' last name. It means Jesus Christ, means Jesus the Anointed One. And every time you see the word Christ, it means the Anointed One. It means anointing. And so these are things that we find in these conferences. So right now, God told him this year to get back to the ABCs of faith, the basics of faith. So we're going to go to Fort Worth. Stan and I, we'll hear exactly the same thing when he's preaching that we heard in Calgary. We listened to a minister's conference a while back, and same thing. But every time you hear it, you hear more, and you hear more, and you hear more. And faith is a law. Romans 3:27 says that where is boasting then? Is it excluded? By what law? Of works? No, but by the law of faith. And Denise mentioned it. The law of faith. So just the way that there's laws in physics where water has to boil, you put water in the stove and it has to boil, and when the heat hits 100 degrees Celsius or 212 Fahrenheit, that's a law. You don't sit in there worrying whether your kettle's going to boil. It's a law. And faith is a law. And if you'll put it to work, and if you'll put it there and put it there and put it there, it has to work. It has to work. If you take the kettle off the stove, it's going to quit. And if you get rid of your faith and loose from your faith, it's not going to work. Kenneth told a story about Gloria's daughter, Terry, who was there. And how one morning she came to church and she just said, she was going along this same line, and she just said, today, she said, she was just sort of made this up, and I don't know if I can do it exactly the same way, but she says, we just heard an announcement on the radio this morning that gravity is at an all-time low. And so grab your children, because what's going to happen is any child that's less than 90 pounds is going to start floating away. So grab your children. You know, she made this kind of thing up. Well, I mean, that's foolishness. The law of gravity is a law. It's a law. And we don't wake up in the morning and worry about grabbing our children because they're going to float away. The law works. The same way as faith works. The law of faith works. And so those are just things that we heard of. Knowledge is not faith. There's a lot of people that have lots of knowledge. They can quote scriptures. They have lots of knowledge. But knowledge is not faith. And in Galatians chapter 3, verse 1, it says, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you, that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified. Verse 2, this only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? By the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Then again in verse 5, it says, therefore he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Works of the law means your own self-effort, or by the hearing of faith. Hearing of faith. That's what happens that builds you up. And that's what we did for the last weekend. In Romans chapter 10, in verse 8, it says, what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. The word has to be in two places. It has to be in your mouth. It has to be in your heart. And when it says your heart, it's not talking about your physical pump. It's talking about your spirit man. The word of God has to be in two places, your spirit and in your mouth. Now, in the King James Bible, in verse 17, it says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. But the word of God, actually, in the Hebrew, that is actually the word of Christ. In the New American Standard, it says, so faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of Christ. Faith comes by hearing. People will say, well, I wish I could see a miracle, give me faith. That's not what that's not Bible. The Bible says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of Christ. Now, what does that mean? I haven't got time to teach all that, but just before that it says, how will they hear without a preacher? You have to hear a preacher, anointed preacher, preaching the word of God to get faith. You can read your Bible, and that's good, and that'll help you. But the primary way that faith comes is hearing, and by hearing by the word of Christ, which means by the anointed word. It's the anointed word. That's what you get faith from. It's not just going to church. You can go to, you can find churches all over this nation. You can go there and sit there for 2 hours every Sunday morning and not get that much faith, because what you're hearing isn't the anointed word. You have to hear an anointed word. You have to hear somebody under the anointing teaching God's word. Under the anointing teaching God's word. Because like I said at the start, knowledge is not faith. And so that's what I'm trying to get at, is that once you understand that, that's why we go to certain kinds of these conferences, that you have to hear, show that again, the word of Christ, or the word of the anointing, or the anointed word. You have to hear the anointed word for getting faith. And the last scripture I'm going to show you is 2 Corinthians 4:13. It says, and since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed, therefore I spoke. We also believe, and therefore we speak. We have to have it in our heart and speak it with our mouth. That's how the word of faith works. God is not obligated, and there's nowhere in the Bible that God has promised to back up your words. Nowhere that he's promised to back up your words. But he is obligated, and he has promised to back up his word. And so what you've got to do is speak his word. Not your word, speak his word. Speak God's word. And when you speak God's word, then he's got a promise that he'll back it up. You release your faith with words and with actions. And so we went to Calgary, and we spent 3 days sitting there listening to the anointed word. And the anointed word is where faith comes from. So every one of us in that conference, and any of you who listened online, you're somewhere at a different level now than you were when you started. And that's just what happens. And we all have to have physical strength. The physical strength you have, the steak you ate last week is not going to help you today. the way we eat physical food all the time, we have to continue hearing the anointed word of God. And so those are the things that stood out for me in that conference. It's all stuff you've heard before, all stuff I've heard before, but it just keeps adding to your faith and adding to your faith every time you hear it.
That's good. Thanks, Doug. He started to scoop me right at the end there, so I'm glad you shut it down. I just want to pick up where a little bit where Doug left off, though. We know we have a body, a physical body, right? We have our spirit. The Word of God often refers to that as our heart. And then we have our soul, which is our mind, will, and emotions. And the Word of God, it's basically food to our spirit, man, just like food is to our body, right? So when we take food into our body, that gives us strength. When we feed our spirit, man, our heart, with spiritual food, and that's the Word of God, the end result is faith, right? That's how we build faith. And furthermore, our spirit is not the only part of us that can receive spiritual food. Our soul can receive spiritual food as well, right? And so when we take our spiritual food, when our mind hears the Word of God and takes that in, what that does is the end result is willpower. It's the strength of our mind to stay strong in faith, right? And so spiritual food is for your body, it's for your spirit, it's for your soul. And that's just amazing things. You know, Brother Copeland told a neat story. I don't have time to do it, but, you know, Doug talked about the fact that a steak you ate last week doesn't do you any good today. And he just, it was quite a long story, actually, that he told. But basically, he was out of town, and he was ministering at another conference, and just had a problem start to develop with his leg. It was kind of like a muscle tightness and just a pain in his leg. When he was on stage ministering, that would go away. Just the anointing would be there, and he could just minister freely, and he would step off a stage, and just suddenly, man, it was right there. And of course, he's a faith preacher. He's a healing preacher. And so he just started going over those scriptures in his mind and declaring those, and just wasn't getting results. He was just frustrated by it. And this went on for a couple of days, and this thing was nagging him, and in fact, actually getting worse. And so one day after a session, he just went to his hotel room and just flopped down in the bed and just cried out to the Lord, like, Lord, like, what is happening? And the thing that the Lord spoke to him was, the memory of a potato won't feed anyone. And he kind of, yeah, I guess that's true. But what the spiritual principle is there is that you can't just think about scriptures, and even, you know, I mean, certainly if you have scripture in your heart and it's memorized, it's going to feed you, but it has to be more than that. And then the scripture that God brought to his memory was Proverbs 4, 20 to 22. Can you bring that up, Mandy, in the New King James Version, please? Proverbs 4, 20 to 22. It says, my son, give attention to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. Doug was just talking about here, the hearing of faith, how the hearing is so important. So our ears need to hear it. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Our eyes need to see the Word of God. We need to get into those scriptures of faith. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and health to all the flesh, to all your flesh. So when you're putting the Word of God in front of your eyes, when you're speaking it, when you speak it, it causes your ears to hear it. Or you can, like Doug said, you can hear someone who's anointed preach the word of faith, and that'll build your faith as well. Doing those things, hearing the Word of God and getting it in front of your eyes, that's what keeps it in your heart. That's what keeps it in the midst of your spirit, or in the midst of your heart. And that's when you're going to find that it's life to you. The Word of God is literally life to your body and health to your flesh. That's your physical being, right? That's just a powerful principle. And so he had to repent. He got out his Bible. He started reading all those scriptures that were probably, you know, so worn in his Bible that he could barely read them. And of course, he knew them by heart. But he read them again. He spoke them out loud. And then he continued in faith. He had willpower, even though he didn't see the result in his leg right away. And they actually, the problem kind of persisted throughout the whole time that he was at this set of meetings. Then what happened is he had to fly home, and so his parents were there to pick him up. This was quite some time ago when his parents were still alive, obviously. And so they pick him up, and he's getting off the airplane, and the devil's whispering in him, do you know that your car is like a mile away from where the airplane is? You'll never make it. And the devil's whispering, sorry, I'm going to be like 5 or 10 minutes, guys. I'm sorry. We're going to end with the song, but I just have a little bit more to say here. The devil's whispering lies. You'll never make it. And then somehow someone rolled up a wheelchair as well, right? And Brother Copeland's thinking, man, like a wheelchair never looked so good in his life. Like,
You know, he's almost tempted, but he says, no, I'm not going to do it. And he just, you know, he just kind of said, he made up his mind he's going to walk to that vehicle. And the funny thing he said, is that's probably the only time the devil's ever said something true to me, because it actually was a mile from the airplane to the vehicle. But with God's help, he made that trip. He made that journey. And he was too tired to even go home to Gloria. I guess they said, Mom and Dad, just stop at your place. He flopped down in the bed there. But his mother is a prayer warrior. She pulled up a chair, and just as he was resting, she just started declaring the word of God over him. And suddenly in the middle of the night, he just stood straight up, or sat straight up in the bed, and she knew the victory was won at that moment. She says, that's it. That's it. It's done. She went to bed, and he, just from that moment on, he walked in complete healing with his leg, right? And so he had to persevere, but first he had to get the word of God in front of his eyes, and he had to get it to let his ears hear the word of God, and that's what built his faith for his healing. And so that's where the, you know, you can, now you understand what I'm, the revelation that the memory of a potato can't feed anyone. You can't eat a meal and just stay strong on the memory of that meal for weeks. It just doesn't work that way. You have to keep on feeding yourself on the word of God and staying strong and keeping strong in faith. Let's see here. I'm just going to move ahead. This is a neat thing that he mentioned. He says, don't confuse religion with spiritual food. Religion is just spiritual activity that's really not based on the Word of God, and it's not prompted by the leading of the Holy Spirit. But don't confuse religion with spiritual food. Religion is man's attempt at making food, essentially. But the statement that he related, religion's the same thing to the soul and the spirit that GMO food is to the body. It used to be food, but not anymore. You know, so don't confuse the two. Eat the real food. Eat the organic word of God, right? Eat the real thing. Get into the word, and that's really what's gonna build your faith. Again, he talked a lot about a worry, too. He just kind of threw in some things about worry, and I thought it was really good, that worry is such a killer. That worry is sin. Don't ever say you're a worry wart, or, oh, man, I just, you know, and confess over yourselves that you worry about this or worry about that, because worry is the total opposite of fear. And the moment that you make the decision to be in worry or to be in fear, you're making the decision to pull away from faith. Faith stops when worry begins, when fear begins. And so it's just so important to have that revelation that fear is the opposite of faith, and the moment you remove faith, it's replaced by fear. Again, the scripture, John 10:10, says the thief does not come to steal, kill, and destroy. Sorry, the thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and destroy. And Michelle touched on this as well, too. That what does the thief come to steal? The very thing that he comes to steal right off the bat is the word of God. And what does he want to replace it with? He wants to replace it with fear, right? So it's so important to be in the word of God. Brother Copeland said one thing toward the end that just really struck me as well, too. He said, your words have more power over your life than the Word of God. The words that you speak have more power over your life. If I was to ask you, how powerful is the Word of God over your life? How powerful is what God says about you? You would give that, I'm expecting most of you would give that incredible significance. You'd say that the Word of God has incredible power over my life. Well, the words that you speak have more power than the word of God, because if it all comes down to who you're agreeing with, right? He said something else. He says, and we know the scripture that that God calls the things that are not as though they are. So the things that are reality in the spiritual realm, even if they're not manifested in the physical, God calls the things that are not as though they are. Well, the devil does the opposite. So he calls the things that are as though they are not, right? And so, you know, the truth is that you are a victor, that you do rule and reign with Christ. That is something that is based on the finished work on the cross, right? But the devil's going to try and call the things that are as though they are not, right? And so it boils down to, who are you going to agree with, right? The devil's going to say, you're guilty. I got just a list here. This is stuff that I came up with just from being blessed with. Brother Copeland didn't share these things, but, you know, the devil is going to say that you're guilty, but God says you're righteous. Who are you going to agree with, right? The devil says you're slaved. God says you're redeemed. Who are you going to agree with? The devil says that you're sick and you're diseased. God's word says you are healthy, you are whole, you're wonderfully made. The devil's going to say you're powerless. God's word says you have all authority is given to you in Christ, right? That you have no inheritance. That's what the devil's going to say. You have no inheritance. The Bible says you're a child of God and you walk in the blessing because of the inheritance, right? And so it's so important to just really, man, get your words lined up with the word of God because they have such incredible power over your life. Just one last thing that I want to talk about in regards to hearing God as well. He told us the story, and it was deep what you shared, Sandra, about Brother Copeland just listening to the Holy Spirit. Because, I mean, I think it was more than four or five times during his service. It's like every 5 or 10 minutes, he's just there, and he's just, yes, thank you, sir. He has such respect for Heavenly Father. He just calls him sir. Yes, sir, I'll share that. And he's just always listening to the Holy Spirit. You know what I mean? There's thousands of people in the room. There's all kinds of things going on. Of course, he's speaking. He has notes. He has scriptures. And yet, that communication is so open, and he's just hearing so clearly what the Lord is speaking. He talked about how when he was a flying student, I don't know if any of you guys have ever been on a small airplane, but if you hear the radio chatter on a small airplane, it's almost, sometimes for the uninitiated, it seems impossible to hear what's going on. It's just like there's call signs and there's instructions from airports going back and forth. I've experienced that flying with Gary Burnside in my job at Tax Service as well. I'm like, I have no idea what's being said, and yet Gary's hearing it and he's writing it all down. Because their ears are trained, right? And their ears are trained to hear their call sign. I mean, there can be all kinds of things going on, but as soon as Gary, in my case, I'm flying with Gary, when he hears Alpha Whiskey, Golf Alpha Whiskey Mike, that's the call sign for his airplane. And he knows that there's an airport controller or someone who's speaking to him, right? And that's really where Brother Copeland is at when he's in these services. He's just hearing so clearly. And so just really affirmed to me just the importance of, man, just spending time with the Lord, learning to hear his voice, recognize his voice. So whether, you know, you're up speaking like I am right now, or whether you're at your job or you're driving or whatever you're doing, that you're hearing Holy Spirit clearly. And when he's speaking to you, you're picking it up, and then you have the faith to act on it. Amen. We're going to end with a song here right away. Just a couple neat things that he said. One was right at the beginning and one was toward the end of the conference as well. But Brother Copeland says, when we pray, we enter into God's presence. When we praise, he comes into our presence. That's a powerful truth right there. There's a scripture in Psalms that says that God inhabits the praises of his people, right? And so when we make the decision to praise, we're in faith in that moment. There's joy in that moment, and God's presence comes to dwell among us. And that's just a powerful thing. That's an exciting thing. He also said something. He says, in praise, you know, you can be in prayer, and you can be standing in faith and receive victories in prayer, in faith. There's so many ways that when we're in the Word, we can get victory. He says the biggest victories, the most significant victories, are won in praise. And that's just a powerful truth. And that's why we do what we do, right? That's why we come on a Sunday morning, and that's why we get together and we sing those songs that honor the finished work of Christ on the cross, because there's just powerful victories that are won in praise. So we're going to do that. We're going to end off just by singing one more song, and then I think Rick is going to dismiss us. So just encourage you guys, let's just stand up, and let's worship, let's honor the Lord.